Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mysterious Topics. This is John. Before we get started, if you are planning to do any shopping at Amazon.com and would like to support this podcast, please go to our website, MysteriousTopics.com, and click on our Amazon link first. It will not cost you any extra, and we greatly appreciate your continued support. Your support played a big part in the continuation of this podcast and will in the future as well. There's also a PayPal link for anyone preferring that option. So next week is the last official show with Chuck. However, this week I originally planned to air a podcast with Chuck that I will save for a future week. I'm not sure how far in the future, but probably not too far. That show correlates to a possible interview I hope to do in the future. Today, I have an interview with Angela Hutchian. Angela messaged us on our Facebook page in regards to our Rh Negative podcast from February 13th of 2016, this year, that she has Rh Negative blood and is a born healer with psychic gifts, as well as an intuitive and empath. She and her business partner have various courses available online at their website, almvedas.net. Now that's Aum, AUMVEDAS. They describe it as an academy for all areas of the holistic healthcare system, such as Reiki, chakra, aromatherapy, spiritual awareness, psychic mediumship, as well as divine awareness, and more. Now the word Aum, AUM, is said to be the essence of all mantras, the highest of all mantras, or divine word. Aum is said to be the essence of the Vedas. The Vedas are a large body of texts originating in the ancient Indian subcontinent. Composed in Vedic Sanskrit, the texts constitute the oldest layer of Sanskrit literature and the oldest scriptures of Hinduism. Now, here is our conversation. Only 15% of the world population have Rh-negative blood. Rh-negative people may exhibit special abilities that could relate to their distant bloodlines. As we discussed on our podcast on the Rh-negative bloodline that published February 13th of this year, 2016, our guest today messaged us on Facebook regarding that podcast, stating that she is Rh-negative and has abilities. Welcome, Angela, and thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you for inviting me. Yes,
No, that's okay. Well, are you going to say something?
Yes, I will. As far as I know, I am the only one in my line. Like, my brothers don't have rhesus negative. I am the only one.
Oh, okay. That's interesting, because I know that trait usually is shared in family members?
No.
There's nobody, like grandparents or anything?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. That's interesting. Now, in your email, you said that you reside in Spain, but you're obviously English. I was just wondering, Spain, in our podcast, we discussed that the Basque people in Spain and France were known to have a higher degree of Rh negative blood compared to the rest of the world population. I'm just wondering if you have any bloodlines to the Basque people.
Not that I know of, but I did meet about 2 weeks ago. I met a lady who is from the Basque region.
Oh, okay.
And she is the same blood group as myself. And she turned around and said straight away she could feel my energy.
Well, that is impressive, because I was reading about some of the abilities that you were talking about and how, well, why don't we get into that description? Because in your message, you said you were a born healer, that you have some psychic gifts, and you are an intuitive and an empath. I'm just wondering if we could distinguish between those abilities and what they mean exactly?
Well, I'll take, for instance, I'll start with my clairs. My most gifted clairs are clairvoyance, which is what you would say is clairseeing.
Okay.
And clairseeing is a term that is used when one can see spirit. But there are two categories to clairvoyance. One is subjective and one is objective. Mine is subjective. I see spirit in the mind's eye. I also have clairaudience, which I get voices. It's sort of in my head. I hear voices, I see images, and this is what is called clear hearing. Again, there are two, objective and subjective. The subjective I have is as I said, is hearing spirit internally inside the head. I get my images and I hear things. I am also clairsentient, which is clear feeling, which is often called empathy. It's what you call, it's the ability to sense or feel spirit physically. So I know when there is a spirit presence. I can feel it both emotionally and energetically. I also have clairaudience or clear knowledge, which is a form of mental mediumship whereby the medium will suddenly acquire knowledge of the client's personal life or the life of the spirit communicator. So when I'm doing a reading, I can bring forth grandparents, great-grandparents, or someone way back in history. Some people can't take it because many people don't know their past history.
So when you're doing this with another person, do you have to be with that other person in the room with them or
no, not necessarily. A lot of the times I do mostly from readings of photographs.
Oh, okay.
But I also do one-on-ones, which I can do over Facebook messaging.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
So you really don't even need to speak with the person?
No.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting that you would be able to get some message or something without even actually talking to the person.
Yeah. I have done platform reading where I've been in a crowd where I've stood on a stage and done a reading. I picked someone from an audience and I have read for them and I've gotten everything perfectly correct.
Now, how does that work exactly if there's a huge amount of people in one gathering like that? Do you get mixed messages or how do you focus in on that one person?
Well, I get a message from spirit, obviously. And I sort of look around and I get drawn to one person. And then I say, I have a message for you. And then I start the reading. And 100% time, I normally get everything right.
So is this an ability, like, can you just turn this on and off, or is it always on and you just kind of...
I close down every night. I open up in the morning and close down at night.
So you're able to turn it off when you want?
Yes, I can do, yes.
Yeah, okay. Because I could see where that would be both a blessing and a curse if you couldn't turn it off.
Yes, I can do. Before I do any readings, I always ground and protect myself from any negative energies from the client. I also ground again after a reading. So I take away if I've done a reading for someone, I take away that spirit. If you understand.
Now, how do you do that exactly? How do you turn it off?
Basically, I do a grounding procedure.
And what does that entail exactly?
We grounding into Mother Earth.
Oh, okay. An actual grounding to the earth. Okay.
Yes.
Now, when did you first realize that you had these gifts, or at least that these gifts were special and not everybody had? Did you know this as a child?
Well, this is very strange because my father can actually see spirit.
And you knew?
No.
Did he tell you about this? No.
No, not until he was 85 years old.
Oh.
Yes. I first saw my first experience with spirit was when my grandfather died, and I saw his spirit on the ceiling.
And how old were you?
10 years old.
And did you tell anybody else?
No. I sort of was like, basically, I freaked out.
yeah, as anybody would. And so at that age, when you were seeing this, did you know right away that obviously you didn't tell anybody, so you must have known right away that this is not the usual?
I always felt different growing up.
Okay, that's interesting because some people with the ability say that they always had them even as a child and they were surprised to find out that most other people didn't or weren't able to do this.
Yes, I know. It's very strange because I used to have deja vu moments, and I used to sense things. I knew when somebody was, going to call me. But basically, it was about when I moved to Spain that I found out exactly what I was and who I was.
Now, could you just tell us again about these abilities that you described as particularly the intuitive and an empath, and how they differ?
The empath is where, how can I explain? If I walk into a room and there's like an atmosphere there, I pick it up straight away. I can, if I go into a room and someone's had an argument and all of a sudden it's shh, I know, I can feel the atmosphere.
Okay.
Empaths have to, when you're an empath, it's not a very good thing actually.
So you're actually feeling the emotion of that room.
Yes.
And then the intuitive part, are you getting all this at the same time? So do you also get that too?
Well, I get a mixture of everything really all together. I mean, clairvoyance, be clairaudience, all come together as one. So I could be doing a reading, clairaudience, clairvoyance could come in, but the other clairs would come in as well during a reading. But my strongest are clairaudience and clairvoyance.
And so the clairaudience, you're actually hearing voices. Now, is that of spirit voices, or where are they coming from exactly?
Well, it is coming from spirit, but you sometimes, when I used to hear things in my head, I thought it was going crazy because, you know, I didn't know anything about my abilities then. And I used to think, is it me? Or what is it? But then I learned it was spirit eventually. Learned it was spirit coming to me and speaking to me.
So you're actually hearing that in your head. It's not like a person just thinking to themselves, but you can tell it's coming from somewhere else.
Yes. Yes.
And then as far as the psychic part of it, so then you can actually pick up some psychic readings?
Yes, I can.
So that all comes in on the same kind of wavelength as the other feelings?
Well, a medium is the one who does readings, but a medium can be a psychic, but a psychic can't be a medium.
Okay, so what is the difference between those two?
Well, a psychic, it taps into the universal consciousness or the energy that holds past, present, and some immediate futures. But a medium is a conduit for spirit to communicate to the living through either a trance channeling or mental channeling. Mediums also have the ability to tap into the universal consciousness and pick up answers to questions.
Okay, so the medium is just a conduit for spirit, whereas the psychic is still in control and they're just relaying the message.
Yes.
That way. Okay, and yeah, I think I get that now. Now, you said you were taking in, did you say you were taking or teaching courses, some of these courses that you mentioned on the Pleiadian and Lemurian and Atlantis?
Well, that's only part of what I teach.
So you teach these courses?
I learned all about Lemuria, and then I learned about Atlantis, and recently I learned about Pleiadian.
Now, you said you feel very connected to these civilizations.
Yes.
So how were you introduced to Lemurian and Atlantis?
I've always been interested in Atlantis.
You've always been interested in it. And when you feel very connected, so do you, through your abilities, do you see that these civilizations actually existed?
Yes.
So what else do you pick up from these civilizations?
A visit.
You visit?
Yes.
Tell us how that works. I mean, what do you do? Is it like an out-of-body experience that you're going to visit, or is it just in the mind?
I do a meditation, and I can visit Atlantis to the Crystal Cave. and I'll say priests and priestesses. With Lemuria, again, I can visit without meditation, with meditation, meet the elders, the priests and priestesses.
So you actually communicate with these priests and elders?
Yes.
So what is that like? Is the time the same? Are you there for like an hour and then you come back here and it's an hour later? Or
no, it's just, it's weird because I visit it all in the mind, if you understand what I mean.
Yes.
I'm actually visiting them through visualization.
But when you're doing this, does it seem like very real?
Yes.
Does it seem very real or like a dream state or what?
I feel like out of body experience.
Yes. Okay. So what else did you see? You mentioned you saw things during this. What else did you see during this experience?
When I take people to visit students, they see things as well. I bring them into the temple of Lemuria to meet the elders. I stay and I watch while they are greeted by the elders. They are given messages. And then when they are finished, they leave. Many of my students have actually told me that they see me as a high priestess in Lemuria.
And how do you get your students to that same place? They just do the meditation you teach them and they can get there?
It's through an attunement. Do you know what an attunement is?
No.
No. It's basically calling on my guides, my spirit guides, the priests and priestesses of Lemuria. Or if it's Atlantis one, it's calling on the priests and priestesses of Atlantis. And it's like a guided meditation.
Okay, and how long does it take someone to learn this?
What sense do you mean learn?
The students that you have, how long does it take you to get them to be able to do this?
Well, I do the meditation. I bring them to Lemuria or Atlantis, whichever one I'm doing the tune for. And they feel the energies. And it takes about 45 minutes for the energies to go through them. But they do feel the energies.
So this works for everybody 100% of the time? You haven't had anybody that wasn't able to do this?
No, it works 100%.
Oh, okay. And do you have online courses if anybody's listening to this and they want to do this?
Yes, I have a school with a friend.
And they can find your website or something? Do you have a website?
Yes, you can find my website.
And what is the name of that? We'll put a link to it on the story, but you can just mention it if you'd like.
It's www.amovidas.net.
Okay, and how do you spell that?
AUMVEDAS.
Okay.
It's part of the third eye.
Okay. So how long have you been teaching this?
2 years.
So back to the psychic part of it now. I'd like to know a little bit more about that. So you can actually see things with individuals, or can you see things just in the world at large that are going to happen in the future?
No, sometimes I can do, all of a sudden I would be doing a reading, and all of a sudden I would get a past life.
Okay, for an individual.
Yes.
Okay, I was just interested, like, for instance, here in the United States now, we have a presidential election coming up. I was just wondering if you knew how that was going to turn out.
Well, my bet is on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I think most people are feeling that way. I just thought maybe you would,
I don't see into the future.
No, you don't. Okay.
Well, how do I put this? I wouldn't predict the future.
Okay.
Predicting the future can be a dangerous thing.
Yes, I know. I just was wondering. You did say you had psychic gifts, and I just wondered exactly how that worked. So if you saw somebody and you could see what experiences in their future were going to be.
I'm sitting here talking to you and I can feel your energy.
Okay. Do you feel, what does that tell you?
It tells me you're a good person.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. But you don't see anything else that I should be aware of?
No, not at this moment. I wouldn't actually do a reading online like this.
Yeah, I just wondered if... Now, do you have any pets?
Yes, I do. I have a dog.
And are you able to interpret his or her feelings or what they're thinking?
I do crystal animal healing on him. He was a rescue dog.
Oh, okay.
He had 3 broken bones on his back leg. He has arthritis.
And you did the crystal healing on it and it helped it?
Yes. I'm a crystal healer as well.
So what do you do with a crystal healing? Is that any kind of crystal that you use, or do you have to have a particular kind?
He likes the rose quartz and the clear crystal.
Okay, but you could use any kind of crystal, or is that in particular good for that?
The crystals I use on, they have chakra points like human beings.
Okay.
He was a rescue dog. I work voluntarily as well. For an animal charity. So this is how I got him.
Okay, interesting. So when you would look at the animal before you adopted him, did you see other animals and could you pick up on their various energies?
I do pick up on other animals on the odd occasion, yes.
And what is that like? I mean, do you see an animal and do you feel whether they're happy or sad or that sort of thing?
I can feel when he's happy and I can feel when he's sad. At the moment, he wants to be in the room where I am at the moment.
Yeah, so I think our dog is behind me somewhere on the couch. So yeah, they like to be close.
Well, he does because I think he feels my energy as well. Dogs are very, got like a sixth sense type of thing, you know.
Yes, I know. We have 2 cats and a dog, and the cats were both from the shelter. We got them out of the shelter as adult cats.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their very peculiar personalities as well. Kind of interesting. I'd like to know what exactly is going on in their minds. So.
Yes, I know you would. When an animal's close to you, an animal can sense when you yourself aren't well. They can go up to you and they'll smell around your nose.
Yes, yeah, that's very true. Now, I'm a little surprised to hear when you said that. Of course, you may not know that any of your relatives have Rh negative blood because it is sort of a family trait. But you said your father was able to see spirit.
Yeah.
He I would think he must have had Rh negative blood or not.
He's rhesus negative group A D minus.
So he did have that.
Yeah. And my mother is the same.
Oh, really? So they were both.
But they're positive, not negative.
Oh, I see. They're both positive, yes. But you're negative.
Yes.
Huh. That is very surprising.
Yes.
How that the negative gene must have been. So you're somewhere along the line, your family had Rh negative blood, grandparents or something, I would think.
Not that I know of. Might be way back, but I mean, not really. I mean, I've done my family history. I'm also a genealogist, by the way. I do my family history and I haven't come across anything at the moment.
Because normally if a lady Rh positive is pregnant with a Rh negative baby, there could be some big problems.
Yes.
That's why I'm surprised.
There was.
Oh, there were problems.
Yeah, there was.
Oh, okay.
My mom nearly died, giving birth to me.
Okay, yeah. Well, now it makes a little more sense.
They were fighting to save her life and they left me alone. Yeah. They were more interested in my mom fighting for her life than what the world was with me as a child.
But obviously she was okay. And
yes, yes. I was the firstborn, so. But my brothers don't have it, that I do know. I've asked my mother. I asked my mother before this interview if any of them had it, and she said no, I was the only one.
You started teaching 2 years ago, and are they just these three courses in these three civilizations, or are there other courses you're teaching?
Crystal healing.
Okay.
Crystal healing for animals and crystal reflexology for animals. Ho'oponopono.
And what is that?
It's a Hawaiian, how can I explain it? It's a Hawaiian energy.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of Joe Vitale?
The Tao?
Joe, he wrote the book Zero Limits.
Oh, okay.
If you look that up.
Okay.
I also, Shambhala, Reiki. I don't actually teach the Reiki. My friend teaches the Reiki, but I am a Reiki master, a grandmaster. I have a lot of healing modalities behind me as well. The list is quite long.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it.
I'm also a member of the World Metaphysical Association.
And what is that? What do you do with that?
It recognizes it as who you are, what you are, and who you are. It's a good thing to have.
Okay, sort of like a certification.
Yes. And I'm also a member of the American Council of Holistic Reiki Healers.
So if someone wanted to get a reading, they can contact you. Now, you said you could do it just through Facebook, but could they do it on like Skype, for instance, the way we're talking right now?
Yes.
And they would just set that up. And I'm just interested how how that works, because I would think there'd be pressure, like if you, for some reason, you couldn't get a reading, but you say you can always get a reading.
Well, it all depends who comes through. Some spirits will come through with little information, some will come through with a lot of information.
So that spirit is that other people, or is it just the universal life force giving the information? Where is that coming from?
It'll be from one of the past loved ones, basically.
That's what it usually is.
Yes.
That would be definitely a way that a person could prove it to themselves, that this is actually real.
Well, I also give them a message that only they will know.
Okay.
A confirmation.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure that's what everybody, I mean, that would be my first.
Something that might have happened in your childhood, you know, something that only you knew about and spirit knows about.
Right. So even a skeptic, even if you gave them that information, they'd be trying to figure out how you could have possibly known that any other way.
Yes.
Yeah.
It makes our jobs a lot harder sometimes, because there are a lot of fakes out there.
Yes, there are. And that's why when Chuck and I started our podcast, after a year, we started doing some interviews, and we actually said on one of the podcasts, if there's anybody that would be interested in talking with us, you know, you can contact us through our email. And the only people that we got initial contact right away from were people calling themselves psychic. And both Chuck and I were just very skeptical, because they would send their information and they were going to house parties and doing their, what looked to me like parlor tricks. So it was just so hard to distinguish between the real and the fake that we just really didn't want to delve into that too much.
Yes, there is a lot of fakes. I mean, it's called, there is a name. I know what it is. It's hot calling and cold calling. Body language, they might say, for instance, how can I say this? I have someone here named John. Everybody's got a John.
Right. Yeah, I know. I've seen this too, where they'll mention, I see a man, and then like you said, they might say a name, and then they'll say, but they're actually getting the information out of the person right there without the person even realizing that they're offering it up.
No, what happens, you know yourself, there is a lot of information on the internet.
Yes.
So, say, it's like a medium who's sort of like in the know, you know, it's very famous, or it can actually get us more information on you over the internet, and then they use that.
Yes, and I agree. Nowadays, it's very easy to get information on someone.
Yes.
Just about anyone. And that's why it would be so hard to know for sure.
Yes.
But then there are things that have happened in everyone's life that aren't on the internet at all. And so you would basically know that there's no way that person could have gotten that information.
Yes.
So are you doing this as a full-time career now?
No.
It's just a sideline?
It started off as a hobby, if you know what I mean. I do free readings. And all psychics out there will say you shouldn't be doing free readings because you have to have energy exchange. But I do end up having energy exchange because if I read for somebody, I ask them to do a card reading for me or do some sort of thing for me as energy exchange. So I'm not using up the energy.
Okay.
Some people ask, say, why does someone with my gifts charge? And my answer to that is, the doctor has gifts. He charges. I'm using my gifts. I paid a lot of money for to do courses to increase my abilities.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't see why anyone would do things for free if they had abilities like that. Everybody can agree to pay or not.
Yes.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
A lot of people out there do.
So if you're walking to the store that and you see somebody, maybe you pick up something about that person. Has that ever happened? And do you ever just go up to the person and say something to them?
No. No.
Do you pick up on things like that?
I do. As I say, I work for a charity, and I work on a market raising money for the charity. I have somebody come up to me and say, because they know me on the market, Angela, I've got a pain in my side. Can you do some healing? And I just put my hands on them, and I do the healing. It's as simple as that.
So, do you have any idea how this actually works, or it's just one of those things that you've always been able to do?
As I said, from an early age, I never knew, because nobody told me.
Right. So it's just something that you've always been able to do, and you don't really have to know about how exactly it works, just that it does.
Yes. It's hard to explain my abilities. It's just there. I mean, today, I've sent energy to somebody. I do it by thought sometimes. I just don't know it's hard to explain, but I don't know. I know my energies. I know what I am. But I don't know. I can't explain my energies, if you understand.
Yes, I do. I do perfectly. The analogy I can make is that a lot of people, me included, use our computers every day, but we have no idea how they're actually working. It's amazing that we have this technology now, but we use it every day and we have no idea how it works.
Yeah, but I use my energy for sending energy to other people.
So you actually, you send your energy to other people, but then you're also receiving the energy from the other person in order to be able to know what, like you said, you can pick up on something that happened in someone's childhood?
I can sense if they're blocked. I can sense if there's something wrong. Don't ask me how I do it. I just don't know. I just don't know. I've been told I've got very powerful energy.
Right. But you said you can give someone confirmation. Can you do that, like, easily right away? How do you determine the one little nugget in their past that they...
I see images.
Okay.
I see images.
So you, as far as the images, I mean, you can just do that right away, or do they sometimes not come, or...
I did a reading today. I started off, the reading was normal as I started off. And all of a sudden, I started getting Victorian images And I saw her face in the Victorian dress. And this to me, and I sensed that it was her.
From a past life or something, or what?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like the people to know about your courses?
No, they can. I mean, there are lots of courses. There's a few courses on there, and we're adding daily as we do them.
Okay, well, I would certainly say if people are interested in getting a reading or learning more about your courses, they can check out your website, and I will have a link to it at the bottom of this link on our website when it's published. But if you'd just like to give that website again quick.
www.amvedus.net.
Okay, and that's AUNVEDES.net.
I will email you it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Angela, for talking with me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, well, I hope you found this an interesting follow-up to our RH Negative podcast. I am happy to speak with anyone who has a personal experience or connection to any of our past show topics, such as Angela has to our RH Negative podcast today. I find it noteworthy how Angela said that when she recently met a Basque woman, how they both immediately sensed the other's abilities and verbalized that to each other. I am sure many people are skeptical about Angela and people like her claiming these sorts of abilities. I am not sure myself, however, I could argue that Angela's saying she gets a connection over long distances with just a Skype or Facebook connection or a simple photo, that this equates to Einstein's spooky action at a distance description of quantum entanglement. Now, just to go over that again briefly, I have an article from LiveScience.com by Carl Tate from April 8th of 2013, which is titled How Quantum Entanglement Works. In quantum physics, entangled particles remain connected so that actions performed on one affect the other, even when separated by great distances. The phenomenon so riled Albert Einstein, he called it spooky action at a distance. The rules of quantum physics state that an unobserved photon exists in all possible states simultaneously, but when observed or measured, exhibits only one state. Spin is depicted here as an axis of rotation, but actual particles do not rotate. Entanglement occurs when a pair of particles, such as photons, interact physically. A laser beam fired through a certain type of crystal can cause individual photons to be split into pairs of entangled photons. The photons can be separated by a large distance, hundreds of miles or even more. When observed, photon A takes on an upspin state. Entangled photon B, though now far away, takes up a state relative to that of photon A, in this case, a downspin state. The transfer of state between photon A and photon B takes place at a speed of at least 10,000 times the speed of light, possibly even instantaneously, regardless of distance. A proposed experiment would send one photon of an entangled pair to the orbiting International Space Station, a distance of around 310 miles, or 500 kilometers. This would be the largest distance that has been experimentally tested. When I was reading that, I was thinking of those big mirrored balls on a dance floor, and they'd have a laser light hitting it, and it would be spinning, and you'd see all the lights scattered out all over the room. And you'll know, and if you watch those different parts of light, they're moving at the same time, because I think that's exactly what that's doing. That's splitting, the mirrors are splitting the lasers and sending them off in several directions. So I don't know, that's just kind of something that I thought of while I was reading that, but that might be a somewhat of an analogy of what's going on with these quantum entanglement particles. As I just read here now, scientists have indeed proved this over small distances already, so this would be a scientific explanation for this particular ability. Something is certainly at play here with Rh negative factor and the abilities we discussed today. I believe science should do research into this to determine what is going on. Rh negative seems more inclined to these abilities, however, I am sure there are many Rh positive people who have abilities as well. With the recent advances in physics, we may be on the verge of explaining these abilities and turning what we now view as supernatural into simply natural. Anyone curious about these abilities, I encourage you to read more about them, or perhaps even take a course on how to awaken these abilities in you and find out for yourself if they are indeed valid. You will find a link to Angela's website in the show notes to this episode, as well as information on many other topics at our website, mysterioustopics.com. And as I said in the beginning, next week will be Chuck's final episode with me, except for the one that I am keeping for a rainy day. Until then, thank you for listening. Goodbye.